It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is the 402nd edition of the Audio Compendium, the sidekick, the soulmate to the weekly Access of Easy newsletter. Available on accessofeasy.com, you can subscribe to the newsletter, to the podcast, and get the latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. My name is Joey. That's Len. End of the week, buddy. How do you feel? Do you feel good? It was kind of a nice day today, kind of nice looking this weekend, short of a little bit of rain maybe on Saturday and tomorrow, but not bad overall.
Your perception of what is nice has changed.
My bar's been lowered. It's been lowered so much. I know. Well,
this is what happens when you stop paying into the carbon tax. Things get really bad. Wow. And here we are now. Good weather is, 18 degrees, some rain, a little bit of wind.
Yeah.
Used to be a crappy fall day. Now it's a solid spring, late spring, early summer day.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't afford a good day now. Times are tough. This economy.
Can we print our way to a good day?
Is it possible that we can quantitative ease some sunshine? I'm not sure if it is or not. I am looking forward to what was supposed to be a 2% cap on the expansion of government spending. Today ended up being 8%. Did I see that correct? I think I did.
It's incredible. Without a budget, it was done.
Yeah.
You know, like what's going to be spent on, what's going to be itemized. It's interesting that it's not yet known, and we won't know for at least another 4 or 5, maybe 6 months. So buckle up.
Buckle up, as they say.
Yeah.
I got well, this year. Let's get into the usual stories and whatnot here. Last week's quote, of course: "You don't get from life what you want; you get from life what you are." That was by Jim Fortin. No one got it. This week's quote, Len: "You can motivate an idiot, but all you're going to get is a motivated idiot." If you know who that was from, put it in the comments. Remember that you can only look on the newspaper clippings that are preventing oil leaks from staining your garage floor and nowhere else. And then once you get it, put it in the comments on easydns.com, accessofeasy.com. And you get your next round of renewals free on the house once you are able to pin that down. I don't know if they do carryover prizes. Like if no one gets it 1 week and then somebody gets it in week two, do they get two renewals free? One renewal?
I don't think so. I think it's still a single renewal. Hmm. So only one per week is going to be given out.
Interesting. Okay.
And if it's not given out, it's lost forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's in your best interest to, especially if you're knowledgeable with quotes.
That's right. Yeah. The keys to that renewal are lost forever. You'll be searching landfills for them 8 or 10 years later. All right. We have 5 stories today. Canadian special today as well. Interesting. Not often we get a Canadian special like this, but today we have a good one.
It's AI seems to be dominated here. And we have repeat in terms of stealing information, customer info. Like there's a lot of melding. We could almost do this in 2 stories, but we're not. We'll do this in 5 separate unique stories.
Very unique. And
number one, Microsoft OneDrive. Are you a user of OneDrive? Have you used it?
My Windows machine wants me to use OneDrive all the time. I don't use it though. And I what I'm having trouble understanding is why you would use it, given that there's so many better free options that are, I think, easier to kind of tie into your day-to-day usage patterns. Google Drive, obviously, you and I use for CBP. Even when I'm thinking about my professional life, it's a Microsoft suite of services, but we don't use OneDrive there either. So I'm not sure if this is a really popular product at all, but
you'd think of the people out there, they need to try to take the path of least resistance.
Right.
And using OneDrive would be checking off that box because it's pre-installed on Microsoft's Windows.
It is. Yep.
Right? So just no additional downloads, no additional whatever. It's just there. And it's so I haven't used it. I don't use Windows except for my professional life. And even then, I don't use OneDrive. So I use other things.
Yeah. I mean, like, not to go into too much detail about like professional endeavors, but on the Microsoft side, I think it seems to me there's better products. Like SharePoint's a pretty good product. as far as like file sharing and putting up hubs for stuff. Like if you wanted to put all your documents in one place, it seems like SharePoint does a fine job. So I'm not sure why you would ever use OneDrive as opposed to something like that in a professional setting. The OneDrive thing makes more sense if you're trying to get the same files on different machines. But again, like there's just better ways to do that than anyway. I mean, we don't have to criticize OneDrive too much. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me that people are using this service.
Well,
this
millions of users are using it because apparently there's a security flaw within the OneDrive file picker. And anything to do with cloud storage, anything, there's always going to be a risk associated with it because you don't own the data. You're not managing, you're not administering it. So you don't know what's going to happen with it. And OneDrive does have capability to integrate into a few other things, Slack, ChatGPT, and a couple of others that was listed here on this article. I never heard of ClickUp, never heard of that, or Trello.
Trello, yeah. I've heard of. ClickUp, I have not.
So I don't, the latter two, I have no idea what they do, but either way, OneDrive does have some sort of integration with those. At least a file picker does, to streamline with file uploads and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that the enabling those apps to get access, well, they're able to get a little bit more access than they should, and it causes some problems. And it's able to do it on a wide variety of the information that is stored on OneDrive. And even older versions of the OneDrive file picker is insecure, and newer ones as well. So even if you have a newer one or older one, unfortunately, there's the app permission is just, it's problematic in all of them. And they suggest that this possesses a real problem for people out there. They should also suggest you look at the permissions and see if anything is granted that shouldn't be granted to a particular file, and then switch that appropriately. So make sure that you're not giving access to something that shouldn't get access, especially something like ChatGPT. Is that stuff, because we'll be talking about AI later in the show.
You don't want to know my ChatGPT history, let me tell you, okay? No one's trying to get a hold of that.
Well, and you don't want to give it access, or at least an AI access, to what you have on your OneDrive if there's any personal information. Like I'm saying, I'm foreshadowing for another story we'll be talking about later today. But with respect to this, if you're a OneDrive user, certainly check out to see. And you've enabled it to connect to stuff like ChatGPT and Slack. Look at the permissions within your folders and see if there's something that doesn't seem right and you may want to change it.
So interesting sort of sidebar to this story is this idea of OAuth scopes. If you look at Microsoft's OneDrive OAuth scopes, they're pretty broad. And so what that means is you can get a lot of tie-ins. There's a lot of functionality app to app if you want to use Microsoft OneDrive as a kin app or something that connects to these other services like you mentioned. You know, meanwhile, on the Google side and the Dropbox side, Google has like a tighter OAuth set of scopes. And so it's harder to get integration, and third-party apps are more restricted, but it's a lot more secure. And then Dropbox doesn't use OAuth at all. It uses a custom file picker. So like there's obviously a problem here that these other services have picked up on, that OneDrive or whatever, you know, Microsoft, you know, I don't know who or what team, but was exposed in OneDrive, they haven't picked up on. That's the most generous interpretation though, Len. What is the more likely interpretation? That they did pick up on it and just didn't do anything about it, right? It was the easy way out. They wanted connectivity, right? This is a retail product, so they want connectivity because the connectivity encourages users, and this is the result that you get. I think these are fair criticisms, and I think that's a fair kind of flow, rationality flow that you might expect to see on any retail product, not just this one, but this is the focus of the story, obviously. So I would say to people, make sure you're paying attention to, this is an impossible task for retail. I don't know why I'm even saying this, but paying attention to stuff like what are the OAuth options available to you service to service. Like, good luck actually figuring that out if you're mom and pop at a future shop or whatever, right? But it's important. This is, you know, one of the themes of the things we talk about on this show, not to stretch us even more, but I am reminded all the time, the ask of the average retail person in terms of ensuring their security should be decreasing, but instead is increasing, because while companies cut corners, other apps expose new flaws, and people want to use as much stuff as they can in one place, and just the security goes out the window in terms of the trade-off between convenience and security. You mentioned this all the time. This is a great example of exactly that trade-off.
Well, and the next story is indication why you shouldn't give any AI blanket access to stuff, and that is the Claude Opus 4, or Claude, if you, I guess, you're French Canadian. Would you call it right? Claude,
like Claude Lemieux. I only think about Claude Lemieux. Exactly. Yeah. New Jersey Devils slash Colorado Avalanche. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. You played for the Habs too. That's where he started. Anyways,
early career. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Claude or Claude, depending on if you want to talk to. This could be used for a lot of things that could help you out. But the thing is, it can do that you're just unaware, including blackmail. It's apparently it's been discovered by some researchers. So researchers have been fiddling with it. And in one scenario, it gave access to Claude. They gave it access to its emails. And through the emails, and it trolled through it, it was able to reveal that, you know, that it was, they were talking to it and saying, you know, we're going to potentially decommission you later on. And it threatened to reveal some personal secrets to the person that was chatting with, like something about to do, like there was an affair. It looks
like it's got your chat history, man.
It does. Yeah. So like it's coming to the point, it doesn't want to be decommissioned. So it's going to use whatever tools at its disposal to make sure that doesn't happen, including checking what you gave it and seeing if there's anything out there that it could hold against you. Like this is becoming very human-like reaction. So they're saying that in some scenarios, Claude even tried to attempt to leak information on corporate fraud to a whistleblower through the tip lines and media outlet. And like, it's pretty crazy. There's a lot of misuse out there that could be available or could be done as a result of all this. And I'm just amazed that this is being done. The program was programmed to do this. And I'm just blown away. Like, a lot of people use this for programming. Claude is very, very popular in the world of programming. Be careful what you share with it, right? It could screw you up in the end if there's something in there it finds against you and it doesn't like which way the direction the project is heading. It may just leak something and screw you in the end. Like, I'm just amazed that it's even doing this. It's like turning like human-like reactions and behavior.
What can we say about this? Like, we talk about these stories with some frequency. I'm not sure that it's every week, but you know, certainly once or twice every month. And most of the time it's in the vein of these things have whatever ask you came up with in their database, in their memory, right? Quote unquote memory. Crazy that we're using these terms, right? They've become human, like you mentioned. And if things go sideways for you, they obviously have some capability or capacity to consider ways to get things back on track in their view, in its view. And part of that is blackmail, I guess. I mean, if I ever get blackmailed, there'll be leaks of me asking my AI app to behave as a World War II era dictator. And, you know, no matter what the means, find a way to make sure that everyone can squat 225 before going to the ballot box. That's the most obvious dark path I've gone down. But you know, kidding aside, why are these things able to make moves like this? Not only the blackmail lens, but how about the deceptive behavior here by the model? Like, that's the big thing. You use the model. We talked about this before as well, this negative flywheel. The expectation when you use an AI model, an LLM, is that you will get good information, not information that the AI model determines will lead to an outcome that it finds preferable, which is what happened here. And there's a lot of people now using these AI models. I mean, we will eventually on this program cover stories of post-secondary institutions graduating kids that went through 4 years with a competent AI LLM at their side and know exactly zero about the subject matter for the degree with which they are graduating. What if the AI bot decided, you know, at the end of the first year of their studies that we need to embed in this group of students a different set of values, different set of morals, and a different set of expectations to guide society in a way that we think is better, it thinks it's better. Now, these are, at least they were, outside fringe examples or fringe possibilities. But here we are with maybe the most major, I mean, short of ChatGPT, Claud is probably the second most prevalent model, and this is what it's engaging in. I color me concerned, I think it's fair to say.
And if it's getting information, and even it doesn't act on it, the person or people, organization that has control of Claude,
yeah,
they can use that
yeah.
as a way to manipulate the end user.
Do you think that, I mean, we've also talked about this, but I'd be curious if you have an updated stance. The discussion we've had in the past has been about, you know, Google is a, or any institution, let's say, you know, it could be Google, could be ChatGPT, OpenAI, whatever, any of these LLM providers, they have a political slant, an economic slant, and I think a moral slant, ethic slant as well. Do you think that they are constantly tweaking the model to continue to provide data, outputs, whatever, that are more favorable to the outcomes they desire? Or do you think they just do it once and let the thing run wild? You're shaking your head. You think they are constantly tweaking?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of changes were done as soon as Trump was elected and put into power, because it was, in terms of the way the models were providing information, the outputs to the end user, it certainly was more favorable to one party than the other, the party that lost. And they couldn't continue down that path. They were going to get absolutely wrecked. Google, they're having real issues with the Department of Justice in terms of having stuff stripped out of Android. Is it what? They're trying to have them, what is it, sell off Chrome or something? I can't remember the
Chrome,
specific.
Chrome, there's talk of, I think some of the what do you call the suite of cloud services, like the Drive and Docs and all that stuff. I think there's some talk about that too. I mean, antitrust is in the face of these guys more than ever.
And why would they want to bite the hand that, well, it's not feeding them, but they may feed them one day. Like, why just be on the wrong side of that? So, of course, they're going to constantly change it
yeah.
to try to appease the people in power. Just that way they don't feel the full wrath of the law that could be put against them.
I agree.
Yeah, it's always being adjusted. And yeah, and you know, next story is interesting because you said, I think last week or the week before, we don't hear a lot of Linux and zero-day vulnerabilities.
Here we are.
Yeah. And the funny thing is how they used to find it, again, more AI, right? Like it's the use of AI to find this zero-day vulnerability. It's incredible. And they found this in the Linux kernel, the SMB implementation. And that is the server message block protocol allowing for file sharing over a network. And they say that the use after free vulnerability in the handler of how it does the log off command could lead to a kernel memory corruption and arbitrary code execution. So in terms of the specifics surrounding this, they don't really go much into details. I even tried finding that, how do you fix this? Is there a patch? I couldn't find very much. The story of this is how they were able to find. They used AI, and that's an interesting way.
Okay,
to
so
do
can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah,
there's a number of like examples on Twitter of people trying to use OpenAI's, and this is an OpenAI. I think it was O3, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at my notes here. O3, yeah, that found the vulnerability. Okay, so OpenAI will let you comb for vulnerabilities in software that potentially put people's data at risk, but will not draw you a picture of, I don't know, Donald Trump on the golf course. Like this is completely insane to me that one of these things is allowed and functional and works, and the other is off limits and can't be done and tells you to refer to the TOS. What are we talking about here? To the earlier point you made about, yeah, these guys are constantly tweaking. They're lost in the sauce. For this to be possible, but then other stuff that's clearly less harmful, clearly less consequential, clearly more transitory in terms of its, you know, punch and impact, can't do it. But this, no problem. I have a big, big issue with that. Everybody should, regardless of your political stripe or whatever. This is clearly a problem for OpenAI.
That's a very good point. And the people that program it, they're the ones that can do whatever they want, fortunately or unfortunately, until we're able to build a model that we could be just truly open. We're at the mercy of these companies that are providing us these tools. Yeah. So it is what it is. So yeah, those are the three AI stories. That's what I was trying to say. We could do this into ultimately two stories in totality, because those three individually, they're interesting, but they could have been combined into one, and the next two could also be combined into one particular story. And it's going to be talking about the Nova Scotia Power, and they confirmed that they were subjected to a ransomware attack just a few days ago on May 23rd, where hackers stole customer information, and 280,000 customers were notified of the data breach. And again, the same old stuff was taken, like names, date of birth, contact information, service addresses, and stuff like that. Nova Scotia Power says they have not paid the ransom, but they're following the law enforcement guidance. And they're also working with cybersecurity experts to assess what happened.
Did they call you? They never called me. Did they call you? What experts are they working with?
My number's unlisted, so they'll never be able to find me anyways. So for people living over there, I don't know about you. Over here in my neck of the woods, we only have one provider of power.
Yeah.
There's no competition. Unless I want to get my own windmills and solar panels, I got to rely on that one. And I would imagine over in Nova Scotia, the same is applicable over there. They have the one entity they have to deal with, and if they want to power everything in their house, they got to use them. And here we are, the people that they need to use, this power company, unfortunately, they didn't secure the data properly. It's too bad for them.
Can I just note that, I don't want to laugh because this really sucks for these guys, but... Mm-hmm. Nova Scotia Power described the incident as a sophisticated ransomware attack. Now, I want you, Len, to tell me what the likelihood is that they were actually pwned, as the kids say, by a sophisticated attack, compared to the odds that what actually happened was somebody at Nova Scotia Power clicked something stupid in an email. What are the odds that one... the latter is significantly more likely than the former?
Well, there's even a third option. What sure. if they're outsourcing some of the customer service?
Man. Don't go there. Don't
Peter with a strong accent from the some Southeast Asian country.
Doesn't sound like a Nova Scotian.
Yeah, actually, Peter, what the heck? Anyway, so that could be another option. That's also the Coinbase type solution, Yeah, it's a number of different things. In the end, the thing I just want to stress is you have no alternative. You'll only have to deal with these folks. Yeah. That's it. And so you're going to have to give your information to them. So come on, guys. Do a better job.
It's funny. The article leaves me wanting, honestly, but I realize that Mr. Kovacs, the author, is probably at the mercy of... Nova Scotia Power PR. It's too bad because I can almost guarantee that this was just a stupid link somewhere. We talked about this so many times. And one other thing that we should point out is a lot of these companies, Len, you know, they've had people who are working the phones, working the customer service desk, working all these things. These people have worked there for a long time. You know, they're unionized a lot of the time. And I get this picture in my head of the average person who could be targeted by one of these attacks, and it's someone in their 50s who's not super familiar with the latest and greatest in ransomware scams and, you know, nefarious links, and they just click something stupid on their way to lunch or click something stupid on their way home or whatever, and you know, and before you know it, you're toast. I'll tell you a funny story. In terms of other sort of, you know, municipal / regional hacking consequences. In Hamilton, I think it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, a guy during COVID asked the city for some information, I think, on his survey, his property survey. So he wants to know where his lines were and stuff. And the city told him that they couldn't do the survey because of a cyber attack. And you may be familiar with this. This is ongoing here in Hamilton. Cyber attack is so bad that you can't even get garbage tags for a second bag if you want. You have to call the city and give them your address and they send them over to you. Crazy. I mean, it's been years at this point, but I digress. The guy wanted to build this gazebo and ended up building the gazebo anyway on public land adjacent to his property. Adjacent to his property. So he built it. And his neighbors complained, saying, hey, look, this is not his property. It's public land. He didn't pay for this, blah, blah, blah. The city said, look, there's nothing we can do. He asked, and he basically said he used stakes that he could see on his property. Anyone who owns a home will know that there's always a stake somewhere on the property that's part of a survey from, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. So he used the stake and built the gazebo. And the city now, as a remedy to this situation, do you know what they're planning on doing?
No.
Selling him the land that he built the gazebo on. So this guy gets below market value land with a gazebo already on it.
Yeah.
Unreal. Unreal. Isn't that something? All because the city could not recover from this cyber attack.
Does he have to, like, every time he comes out of a piece of property, does he have to acknowledge the fact that this land...
It was unseated by the city of Hamilton.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. But like cities, municipalities, power providers, like these guys just, they are... Right now, we're in the early stages of these vulnerabilities being exposed and the, you know, sort of consequences of these things. But here in Hamilton, you know, you're a few years in, you got people building on the park next to their property and telling the city to, you know, va fangul when they come knocking, right? And so it's interesting times, man. Soon people will realize that there's opportunities here springing from these shortcomings in the cybersecurity portfolios at power companies, cities, municipal, like whatever. And it's only a matter of time until more people start taking advantage of this. Cause why would you not? Why would you not take advantage of it? I want to go have a beer with this guy in his gazebo, his parkland gazebo. I bet you it's great.
It makes me want to buy a piece of property that's adjacent to public land and just expand like crazy. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Precedence has been set.
Expand. We're going west on my private land.
We're not stopping till we hit the Pacific.
Unreal, man. Unreal.
Okay, this company name, incredibly trash. Like Lexus Nexus Risk Solutions. I had to check. It's not publicly traded.
Okay.
And thankfully it was, because if it was, who the heck would want to buy any equity into Lexus Nexus Risk Solutions? I don't know. Anyway, I even tried to find what the heck they are before we dive deep into this story. It's a global data analytics company that provides information and analytics services to businesses and government agencies. Now, they are terrible at analyzing and providing information.
Just what you want to hear at the beginning of an Access of Easy story. Government agency. It's all this. Like every pitch right down the middle there. Fastballs over and over again.
So these guys, they were subjected to a data breach by an unauthorized third party that got access to their GitHub account. And that was used for software development. And this took place all the way back in Christmas 2024. And these guys, LNRS, discovered it just in April 2025, many, many months later. So again, data analytics company that's trying to provide information. And the information that was taken was over 364,000 individuals that may have been impacted, including the names of individuals, phone numbers, postal code, email addresses, and
Love it.
There's nothing really to say about this, but besides A, the name absolutely sucks. Lexus Nexus, just trash. And two, like, how come you're taking so long to find out something like this? I mean, if there's a security breach, don't you have people checking things out, being a little more proactive? Apparently not. It just like seems like these guys are just doing a terrible job. And like I say, thankfully it's not publicly traded, this company, because if it was, it'd be in a tank and I'd short it if I had a chance.
Yeah. The other thing interesting here, law enforcement agencies use LexisNexis for obtaining personal information on suspects, such as names, home addresses, and call records. These guys truly have everything, right? Like everything. Yeah. This is super wide ranging database of information to have.
Do you think it's security up to date?
I don't know.
Given their track record here, I suspect you're updating the records from 1998, 1999, and any crime that took place after that, it's an avoid. We'll get to it eventually.
They're just looking into now Nicole Brown Simpson and OJ, seeing what exactly transpired there, trying to get the phone records. Yeah. Yeah. Did he buy the medium isotoner or the large isotoner?
Did you follow that, by the way?
I was a little young, but I remember going to pick up my mother with my dad and brother from work. And the verdict was on in the car. And that's really one of the earliest memories I have of like an important news item being on.
Oh, that
in
was
the vehicle.
Really important.
Yeah. Yeah. That was huge, right?
News flash.
Yeah. Yeah,
OJ's not guilty.
OJ,
but it, at least for the criminal, for the civil, he's guilty. How does it?
That's
work?
Right.
I don't know.
Hey, God rest his soul. Okay, OJ wrote a book.
He didn't do it.
If I did it, right? Is that what the book was called?
Something like that. Yeah. Didn't he God break into? Didn't he break into some Las Vegas
memorabilia? Memorabilia.
Well, Even worse. I don't know what the heck he stole something, right? What did he steal?
His own jersey, I think.
His own.
Yeah.
He gave up his shit and
he tried to get it back. Yeah. Yeah. Indian giver, right? Is that the term? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. I'm quoting Seinfeld. Give me a break. OJ Simpson never ceded that jersey, as the phrase goes. Anyway, that's it. Before we get in any more trouble, we're getting out of here. Don't forget, subscribe to the newsletter, subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. And
I'm going to get you that statue that Kramer had.
I'm looking forward to it. Next week, come back for more latest and greatest data breaching and overreaching. Until then, take care of yourselves.